Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Andrew on More Than Money on 770 CHQR. And Andrew, we've had a tough go over the past 4, 5, 6 years, I suppose, in Alberta, certainly in our city.
Yep.
I can't tell you how many phone calls we got in the early days of the downturn where, you know, people lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, either moved into retirement or, you know, didn't want to retire, were looking for positions, but maybe couldn't find the same position. There's a lot of transition that's taken place.
Well, or even going into retirement, deciding they wanted to do something or learn something new.
Do something new. That's right.
Yeah.
So the fact is, in our city, we have seen a lot of, I don't know what you call them, mature workers or, you know, mature people that are seasoned professionals, maybe moving outside of their chosen field,
yep,
right, or working in a different capacity. And often that indicates a need for re-education, right? So yep. What do we do? So we've got a terrific guest helping us out today, Dr. David Hogan. He's a medical doctor, scientific director of the Brenda Stafford Center on Aging, also part of the Cumming School of Medicine's O'Brien Institute for Public Health at the U of C. Dr. Hogan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's just talk a little bit about what the Age-Friendly University Network is.
Well, the Age-Friendly University Network is a group of institutions around the world that have endorsed 10 principles and have committed themselves to becoming more age-friendly in their programs, mm-hmm, and policies.
So what does that mean, age-friendly? And what kind of changes does an institution have to put in place if you're dealing with a mature person versus maybe somebody who's 17, 18, just going to university for the first time?
I mean, universities have been designed and really function primarily for younger students.
Mm-hmm.
So older students, when they come back, you know, they might not be as familiar with information technology. They have, you know, different issues. When you're older, there also might be questions of accessibility to university buildings. It's a kind of a very different list of requirements for you as a student. Also, older individuals could benefit a lot from accessing the facilities available on university campuses, and we'd like to make that more possible and happen more often in our city.
So, okay, let's talk about why then the U of C decided to become part of the network. Was it in any way, shape, or form a response to, you know, what we've seen happen in our community over the last little while, or was this a longer-term project that was in motion already?
It was a longer-term project, but it becomes more pertinent, you know, because of the changes we're all facing. I think the university does want to become more responsive to the range of educational needs of older individuals. You know, that includes people who might have left school early,
right,
to those who want to pursue a graduate degree.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so let's talk about being part of this network. What does it mean to our community? But I'm particularly interested in talking about maybe the kinds of support that are available for mature students. So if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, oh, okay, maybe it is time that I go back or I'm interested in pursuing something else. Talk us through a little bit of the process and what they can expect.
Well, we're still very early, and okay, we're definitely are trying to develop programs and processes and services that will make the university more accessible and more age-friendly,
mm-hmm,
to older people in our city. I mean, one thing the university does offer, and you probably aren't aware of it, is that for undergraduate courses, the university waives tuition for seniors. So if you're 65 and over, you don't have to pay tuition for an undergraduate course. That's not the case for graduate courses, but for undergraduate courses, if you're a senior and you wanted to take a course, tuition would be waived, and you could get more details of that policy, you know, from the university directly. There are more mature students than would have been the case previously.
Right.
But we're just early in the game in trying to devise how to make the university more accommodating to their particular issues and needs. We're working with a student right now to kind of look at intergenerational programming and also how to meet the needs of older students when they come back to university. But hopefully this will come to fruition in the next year or so.
Are there any financial support programs for those that are under 65? So we've got somebody, say, a 50-year-old who's lost their job, and perhaps that job doesn't exist anymore in Calgary. They don't want to move and change the family. Is there a support program specific to the mature needs, whether it's undergraduate or beyond that?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, obviously, mature students would be eligible for all the scholarships that are available through the university, but targeting specifically mature students, I don't believe so.
Okay. What's the long-term vision, David, of what the university, not just the U of C, but the university network in general, by pushing down this idea of age-friendly, what's the genesis of this idea across the country, and what's the uptake? Like, what are we trying to accomplish here with the mature student?
Well, I think what we're trying to accomplish at the university overall is change the university mindset from training younger people to service maybe an older clientele, but to bring older individuals into the university itself. So they become, core to all activities of the university, whether education or research programs, and also are more comfortable in coming to the campus and, utilizing all the resources and services available on the university. There are a lot of things going on in the university I think would be of interest to, older Calgarians, but I don't think we have done a great job in reaching out to them, and also older Calgarians should be feeling more comfortable in coming to campus. We do have to deal with issues of like physical access to buildings and places where these things are shown or held. But also, I think there are psychological barriers that we have to break through as well.
Well, I have to tell you, Andrew, I've got super fond memories of my days at university.
Yep.
And, I've often thought myself after retirement, it would be fun to go back. I've always had an interest in, say, physics or astronomy. I was never bright enough to go into those expecting that I would be able to have a career, but I find them really interesting, right? So I think as part of we talk to a lot of people about transition and what are you going to do in retirement, right? And part of it is an engagement process and part of it is keeping your brain active, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think there's a huge opportunity that universities can play in that, that aspect of whether it's just a retirement program or it's I'm retraining.
Well, I think
right?
I think it's a combination of both. A retirement program is one thing, but it's a retraining because we're always retraining our brains to think differently. Our kids move differently. Our kids do things differently than we do, whether it be technological or
yep.
others.
Yep.
They think differently, and this gives us an opportunity in which we can go and do something like that.
David, is there any early evidence or evidence, I don't know how early it would be, but evidence to support who is coming back and taking advantage of it? Is it that person who's retired and just really interested in staying engaged mentally, or is it a retraining, probably a combination of both, but just curious to see what you're seeing.
It's definitely a mix. I mean, some people are coming back later because they had to make choices early in life where, for example, they didn't pursue a degree that they had an interest in. And some are doing it more for their personal growth, and an interest they might have. I think this is really important if, as a society, we're going to benefit from a longevity dividend as compared to a longevity burden. We have to keep older Calgarians, Albertans, and Canadians, engaged and enthusiastic about society and contribute to society, not really just sitting placidly collecting, retirement benefits. That's not really what we want to do.
Yeah, well, I think we see plenty of evidence in the engagements that we have with clients that it speaks to that, right? I think people need to keep engaged both physically and mentally, but we have to work at it. It's not something, the environment just doesn't pop up. Like, you have to take active steps to do this. And I think that this whole notion of an age-friendly university network in Canada and perhaps beyond Canada, I'm not sure. But that to me makes a lot of sense.
Well, and it fits into what we talk about with our clientele regularly, right. Which is, what are you going to do? How are you going to fill that 8, 10, or 12 hours a day that you haven't done before? Is it going to be productive, or are you going to sit down and watch TV?
Yeah, David, just very quickly before we have to let you go, if somebody's interested in this and getting involved, how do they reach out to the university and get engaged in this?
If they contact me, I'd be happy to, try to address any questions they might have. That'd probably be the simplest way right now.
Okay, that's great. And if they're interested, is there a website they go to, or is it a phone number they need to contact you at?
If you went to the University of Calgary website and look for the Brenda Stratford Center on Aging and click through there, you can contact us and also get a better idea of the things we're doing.
That's wonderful. David, I want to thank you for taking some time with us today. If anybody couldn't write that down, they're driving, you want to get in touch with us, we can forward that link so that you can get in touch with David and his team. Thanks very much for your time today, David.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Been joined by Dr. David Hogan, MD, Scientific Director of the Brenda Stafford Center. So Google Brenda Stafford Center if you're interested in this, on aging. And that's part of the Cummings School of Medicine's O'Brien Institute for the Public Health, of Public Health at the U of C. Okay, my friend, this whole transition, education, staying engaged, all of that's a part of the framework that we're discussing at our upcoming seminar.
Seminar coming up on Tuesday, November 19th, 7 p.m. at the Sheraton Four Points. That's across from COP. If you want to give us a call to register, you get it at 403-966-8400 or go online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Stick around after the break if you want to hear about how the last federal election results could really impact Albertans. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.